Georgia, Texas, 7:30 tomorrow night in Austin. Not a lot of history between these two teams. Last time Georgia and Austin, 1958. Fran Tarkington was Georgia's quarterback. They lost that day.
You remember that game, right?
I remember the one I remember the most was January 2nd, 1984, the Cotton Bowl. Georgia wins that one. That was like Vince Dooley's last signature victory, because the 4 or 5 years after that, very mediocre. They retired in 1988. But I remember that vividly. January 2nd, 84, John Lastinger. They basically took a national championship away from Texas that particular day. Texas came in ranked number two, I believe. John Lastinger with, 20-yard TD run to seal it, 10-9. Very cold day in the Cotton Bowl that year. I remember that winter here, actually, in 1980. It was very cold here.
Yeah?
Yep.
I was one.
You were one.
No, I wasn't even one.
I was
one.
In high school, so.
I mean, I was probably 6 months in that winter.
And then, of course, Bevo almost impaling Uga.
Yeah, in the Sugar Bowl. I've never liked Texas football program because I've always felt like they felt they were better than everyone else. They kind of have that elitist attitude, the Longhorn Network.
Sense of entitlement is what you're saying?
Yeah, very much so.
Well, that's a well-heeled, very wealthy alumni base. So.
Yeah, so is A&M, and they think they're Texas, but they're not even close.
Man, you're just running the gauntlet right now. Yeah, you're trying to stoke the fires.
You want me to?
Anybody else you want to fight with?
You want me to talk about Texas Tech? I can go through the whole state if you want.
I mean, sheesh, UTEP's just out there trying to live their life.
I have no problem with
you. Got an axe to grind with Stephen F. Austin State.
I was going to say, what's the incarnate word over there?
Well, SMU paid their way to try to be Texas, and that came crashing down. Actually, SMU's pretty.
I was going to say they ain't bad.
They're the toast of the ACC. Right?
They ain't bad right now. That ain't come crashing.
Winning on the road is what they've been doing.
But I do feel like Texas has been humble the last 10 years football wise. Since Alabama snuck by them in the national championship game in the Rose Bowl.
There we go.
They've been kind of humbled, and they finally maybe have gotten back to the point where they think they've got the right coach. They've got a ton of talent. I mean, I think in the trenches, this Texas team is more talented than Georgia.
This is what Georgia was 2 years ago. Is what I'm thinking. 2-3 years ago, same sort of. And Georgia's issue is depth. Especially on defense.
It's hard to imagine a team that is top three in recruiting and eats in the transfer portal like they do has a depth issue.
But you can see with George, every time a starter goes out of the game for a rest or they're injured, you can see it's a tangible, you can just see it. There's a drop-off.
And you didn't see that in 21. You didn't see that in 22.
Well, to me, that's a portal thing. Yeah. I think it's absolutely a portal thing. And I think that to your point about Texas being Georgia 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the one thing that has happened in college football is more so than any position, I feel like we've seen a realignment. Of course, the quarterback is its own kind of beast, but we've seen a realignment in terms of strength along defensive lines because of the portal. Like Florida State last year, the defensive line they had, unbelievable portal guys. Ole Miss went out and got portal guys. Texas has timed it so well to where they have been now built like an SEC team through the portal a little bit, but also bringing guys along. They are built like an SEC team now, and they're in the SEC. Like, they have a great offensive line, and they have a good defensive line. And that's how they go about their business right now.
Georgia's not been an underdog in 50 games. You know Kirby's been preaching that this week, right?
Oh,
Nobody's giving you a chance to win. We might as well not even. What did Saban do when you guys you weren't underdogs very often, but when you were?
Oh, listen, let me just take you on a stroll back down memory lane in my career. I redshirted freshman year under Mike Shula. We were underdogs a lot, plenty, which we needed to be. But my first year when I redshirted, we went 10-2, won the Cotton Bowl, the whole bit. All right, so then Saban's hired my redshirt sophomore year, my third year. All right, and we come out and we're like, all right, I think we started like 6-2, right? Lost to Florida State and Jacksonville. That was a bad one. Beat Tennessee, who won the East that year. We're off and running. We got a bunch of suspensions, and we lose to Monroe, lose to Mississippi State. But to your point, we opened the 08 season as a massive underdog against a top 10 Clemson team right down the street in the Georgia Dome. And I think we were like 23 or 24. And that was nobody believes in you. You lose all these games last year. Posters of Mississippi State loss, posters of the Louisiana Monroe loss, plastered everywhere. Hey, people think you suck. Are you going to go out and prove them wrong? Yeah, I think I will.
Did you play in that Monroe game?
Yes, I did.
What? What happened? Wait, what? I'm not trying to bring up bad memories.
I just think it's interesting to happen.
Like, what's your mindset in a game like that midway through where you realize they're not going away?
So, a lot of things happen in that game. I think that's that house. And don't get me wrong. Like, a lot of times when games like that happen, it's a team that operates at a high level against a team with more talent that doesn't operate at a high level. I don't even think they operate at a high level. Like, we played the sloppiest game of football you can possibly imagine. You know, our quarterback throws a pick six early in the game. I think they were already up 7-0. Might have made it 14-0. We scratch and claw, get a touchdown. I think we might even have tied it at some point. And then, like, every time we're, like, trying to scratch and claw to get back into it, it was like a pick, a fumble, something bad would happen that just didn't allow it to happen. And also, man, and I know this gets overblown a little bit in some people's eyes because you look at the talent as opposed to other things. We really didn't still understand what exactly our scheme was offensively. Major Applewhite was our offensive coordinator. We were running a little bit of inside zone. I had to play guard that right guard that day because we had some suspensions along the offensive line for a textbook scandal that would make people laugh today's day and age. I mean, it's just like – I mean, like, we had six of our best players. Glenn Coffey was suspended, Antoine Caldwell, who was an All-American center. And it just – there was so many different things pointed in different directions. There was just – it just fell apart. And the same thing happened against Mississippi State the following week. And it just, we couldn't ever get it pointed in the right direction. So if I could answer that with one thing, I would tell you, but it was just, it was a overcast 11 a.m. Central start. And we just, man, we played like crap. And that's what happens in college football.
Yeah, okay. I'm glad you got to the last part. Cause I was about to say a lot of excuses being made there.
I don't have any. That's the point of the whole talk. I don't have any excuses. We just played like crap.
And I hate to put you on the spot. And I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I just wanted to ask because I've always been interested in what happens when teams with a ton of talent in college football, where you know where most of the people feel that most of the time, and it's true that you can show up and just on talent alone pull it out. How it doesn't happen.
I just don't think that's the case anymore.
I don't either.
I really think that there has been a great reckoning in college football to where, first of all, coaches are moving faster than ever, right? I mean, it's just, hey, if you're a good coach, it's like boom, 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 boom. McKalen DeBoer is 2 years at Washington. 10 years ago, the guy's at Sioux Falls. You know what I mean? And it's like all of a sudden he's the head coach at Alabama. It just, you're moving quickly. The players are moving. A lot of equalization.
I think Tashard Choice can be a head coach within 2-3 years.
It's not a bad pick. Not a bad pick.
Very good running back. Good, great recruiter. Of course, went to Georgia Tech. He was all academic ACC while going to Georgia Tech. I know he probably majored in management, but he still got through the rigors of he was a good player.
Yeah.
Bounced around the NFL. Apparently a really good coach. I mean, ask Bijan about him, right?
What was the major that Rusty brought up yesterday they don't offer at Georgia anymore that's hurt? Was it criminal justice?
Yeah.
He was like, something like that. They don't offer criminal justice anymore. That one stings.
Yeah, are we done with that? Are we done with the Bo Morgan? Sophomore, sports management. Like, you know, when they always remember that old school, you'd say your major. The player would say his major, and you're like,
What's funny is I went to school, I was like, major in business. And like, a year into school, I was like, nah. What am I talking about?
Physical Dylan education.
Dylan Matthews College? No college.